I'm talking to Father Fenton McKiernan. And Father, you're here now, just outside Ballyconnell. What's the name of the parish here?
Kildallan. Kildallan is the name of the parish, but people would identify it more with Ballyconnell, Ballyconnell.
But you're only here a few
weeks. I'm only here 3 weeks.
Now, where were you before this?
I was based in Knocknany Parish, that's the Derlin area, just north of the border, stretching right along the border.
And where did you come from originally then?
I come from this Ballyconnell area originally myself.
Oh, I see. Whereabouts?
Out Templeport, 2 miles outside of Ballyconnell, on the Ballymore side of Ballyconnell.
Quite close to the border, then?
Quite close to the border. Quite close to the border. So, and I taught for 15 years in St. Patrick's and Cavan, and I was 16 years in North Leitrim, and I'm 19 years in Derlin.
My goodness, yeah. And so those 19 years were 19 years of the Troubles, really?
There were. Well, it is phased back, eased back. When I went there first, the soldiers, the full checkpoints of the soldiers were coming in by helicopter on a regular basis, and it was all action. And life was destroyed. Now, I noticed it immediately in the lack of freedom to call to houses. When you tried to call to a house after dark, the lights went out. They wouldn't answer the door. And if I would come from North Leitrim, where the doors were hardly locked at all, and to come there, they were afraid of any knock on the door. And it hasn't gone completely. There's still that dread of callers. It's part of their makeup at this stage. It was bred into them.
And that's coming from fear. Fear of...
Fear not knowing who's there and not knowing what to expect.
I see. And when you're administering and you're going around and you're meeting people, you'd come across people who were genuinely traumatised by the Troubles as well?
Not that many of them. Derlin itself would be very nationalist, not Republican, nationalist. Timor be more Republican. But the area is well defined, the Catholic area and the Protestant areas. As you go from Derlin towards Beltorbet, the left hand side of the road is virtually all Protestant. The right hand side of the road, the bulk of it is Catholic. And up along the border road from Derlin up into Ballyconnell, the bulk of it is Catholic. And I was quickly made aware of who was who.
Were you?
Yes, very, very quickly. And I rarely intruded on any of the other side. Now, not that they were quite hospitable to me when I did encounter them, but I didn't want to embarrass them or get embarrassed myself by interfering or approaching them.
And would you, your own background, would it have been political?
No,
anyway?
My home, we live in the midst of a mixed group. Three of our neighbours are Protestants. We went to primary school with them, and we're still very friendly with them. I've always been. But we're still conscious that they were Protestants, but we had free flow with them. But you'd notice that when they want to buy or sell something, they'd always buy it for Protestant, and they certainly wouldn't sell land to a Catholic. And that was unwritten rules, but it was there. And now, there was a lot more freedom when the Protestant community were a minority. They mingled out of necessity, and they were felt a lot freer then, and we didn't feel overawed by them, intimidated by them, even though traditionally they had the good land. But in latter times, those estates have got broken up, and especially when the Tiger area came, Tiger time came, the Catholics were fit to outbid the Protestants for the land, for property that was coming on the market, and it revolutionised things. Things have settled back down again now, and I just wonder where they're going to go from here. But there was a while the Catholics certainly, and even across the border, they asserted themselves. They were buying left and right Catholics.
I see.
And in the Masonic Order was powerless against them. But they grouped together and have a Masonic hall there in Derlin, and they meet there, and they plan what to buy and what to sell and support one another. And that's all has always gone on. He's accepted.
Were you threatened or at any stage,
no,
Father? Did
never.
Anybody ever come up to you? And
no, not in the least. I was treated with the height of respect. They came about, I suppose it's 8 or 9 years ago. There came a sudden change in attitude with the police.
There was?
A change in attitude towards me.
Yes.
By the UDR were there, and the UDR now were more offensive. The police weren't so bad. But the UDR tended to be local friends in that, and they were not very pleasant or very cooperative. The police, some of them could be quite tolerable, quite okay. But about that period, about 8 or 9 years ago, I know there was a checkpoint one evening, a guy addressed me as father, and I couldn't believe it. I thought he must be one of our siders. This is a rare bird. But then it suddenly became the norm. And I noticed there was a change of approach, change of attitude, that treated me with respect and a trusting relationship. And it didn't seem to doubt me in any way. Any communication they had with me was relaxed. And they called on goodwill trips to the house too, just for me to say hello and to make me aware that they were observing the community, observing what was going on, and what crime, I mean, ordinary breaking, any crime that was going on, who the schemers were, or what it was, who they were watching, and they weren't my parishioners at all at this stage. There were no indigenous crime in the area, it was only passing through, and making me aware of how things were progressing, and in goodwill trips, and quite pleasant about it.
Yeah, and so... But at the same time, you were saying
the people haven't progressed the same way. Exactly. No, it's the fear is still in them, and the attitude wouldn't change.
What did you know the dissidents, the Republicans? Would you have you would have been aware of them?
I would have been aware of them. I would have been aware. But the guys. They would do most, talk least.
There were those, you mean?
The loud ones are no threat. The active people will not talk. And that is very, very apparent. The people who are leading parades on a Sunday and shouting at meetings and that, they are not there. They wouldn't be the key people. They wouldn't be the people who...
The killers, the murderers.
I don't use that term.
All right, okay.
I don't want to use that term, but that was my feeling about them. The key people lay low.
Yeah, imagine, yeah. And
I take it, you're in the community a long time before you get a feeling of who they are. But it's nobody's going to say to you. You take a long time to earn that trust.
Why were they kept in the community? Why were they minded? Why were they accepted?
Why were they accepted? Well, it was very apparent that there was very little justice in the area. Now, to this, right up on recent times, there's no danger of certain people being convicted. And it's very apparent to me. And I witnessed a road accident when I came riding on it immediately after it happened. And I saw the culprit, and I knew what was wrong, intoxicated. But I could be told that nothing would happen to that man. I couldn't believe it.
Why?
Because...
Could you explain that?
The people knew that he must have been a double agent or something. He had connections.
And with what side?
With the police. He was one of our side. They are protected by
the organisation, whatever.
By the powers that be, by the... was supposed to be the justice system in the north at the moment. There has been the same police force in there. Nothing's happened.
Yeah.
And the people accept it. They know that's the story. It'll be the same on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, there's no justice, is there?
No, there's no justice.
You were brought in the court case yourself.
I was brought in the court case myself accidentally because The man concerned wanted to bring in character witnesses. He was pleading guilty. And he wanted character witnesses. And the parish priest at the time was 90 years of age and wasn't fit for travelling. And I used to deputise from my school position. I had no parish commitment of the weekend, and I deputised on a regular basis. So I was asked to go as a witness, seeing the parish priest wasn't able to go. And I went to the parish priest, consulted with him, and he said if he was able to go, he'd most certainly go. That the family concerned were loyal, they were loyal people. They were, he couldn't say a wrong word about them. And he said if I was able to go, I'd go myself. And that was enough for me to head off without any qualms of conscience at all.
All right, and this...
I knew the man concerned.
Tell me about, just fill me in on the background. What was the court case about?
The discovery of bomb-making equipment on his industrial unit.
In
Ballycullen.
And what was the court, and he was...
He was a tool maker, he was a skilled tool maker by trade. And
he was making bombs?
He was making the shell out for the mortar bombs, he was making the holder for them and doing the welding work of that type. Not necessarily putting the assembling the bomb as such, but he was doing the preparatory work for them. And two mates of his were charged along with him and appeared in the Special Criminal Court in Dublin. And he took responsibility for it. He was a prime mover. He had a brother there who...
his brother, go ahead.
His brother left at the time and never appeared back since. His own brother.
He left?
The area. Well, he wasn't a native of the area, but he worked with him, and he left, and I never saw him since. He left, he stayed behind me, he took off.
Were you brought in as a character witness?
Character witness. We can't find a man to say that he wasn't a renegade, he wasn't all wrong, do you understand? That there was a stroke of decency in the fella. And I could swear it with all honesty, because when I was in the college one night, when it changed over the boiler at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was a time there had been an oil strike and we had moved companies, and went to start the boiler in the morning, the unit wouldn't fit. So at that time in the morning, I put this man out of bed, and he went to the lathe and cut it apart, to put it together, that it could be working in the morning, the winter's morning, that the boiler was working when the students got up in the morning. Nobody knew anything about it. And that man was the man that facilitated me and would take nothing for it. All he said to me is, you're not paid for this trip. Neither I was. And he said, I'm not going to take any of you. You're doing a good turn. I said, I'll do you a turn. He did the part for me and worked perfectly well. Yeah. And his wife's people are there beside me in Derlin when I was down there and were very supportive of me. So
did he get off then?
No, he went down. I brought him up to the court and I left him behind me the second day. He got years. But he felt there was himself and a man, George Corden from Gowna, was the two character witnesses for him. He did work for mold. He was a plastic place, he did molds for him too. And he came as the worker he was and the service he gave him. Now his business, he's still there, but his business, he would get no grants from the state from there on.
That's interesting. But Father Fenton, you were balancing. It was a balancing act. Trying to keep in the middle of all, trying to keep everybody happy.
Yes, and it did serve. Was very useful to me in when I went to Derlin. When the locals want to start up a band in the name of Sean South Band and use the parish hall for rehearsing. And I said it couldn't be that way because it was a parish hall and it was not to be used for a political reasons, political uses, for it was banned from it. It wasn't to be used for that. And I could say honestly, it's not that I'm prejudiced against your organisation in any particular way. I said, I stood by your man. I was prepared to take the stand for an honourable man when only you people would be prepared to appear. And I said, it's not that I'd stand up for any honourable person. I said, but I will not be part of provocation, that type of thing.
I think I asked you this before. So were you actually threatened?
No.
Did anybody...
It was very interesting. a spokesman from... I was approached by a prominent Republican And the wife was alone, and after initial few words, the wife says, "We were told, when we told not to come into conflict with either local clergy or community leaders, we're not to get into any conflict with them. And therefore they wouldn't touch me, they wouldn't threaten me." And it was obviously a policy they had, and the respect and freedom of respect still do to this day.
Yeah.
And didn't hold that against me in any way, best of friends.
They didn't hold...
No, the fact that I didn't let them use the hall.
Yeah, they didn't hold...
Didn't pursue it at all.
All right, okay. And but the
And I didn't feel when I met them that there was any grievance with them or any... that they had a score to settle. I felt none of that. I didn't feel intimidated in any way by them.
Mm-hmm.
I felt free. They never interfered with me. Neither side interfered with me.
Doing the kind of job you're doing...
Yeah.
It must be... Do you know, knowing people who were...
Well, you're not 100% certain. You weren't on the spot. No.
Yeah.
There's a difference between actually being certain of it and having an inkling. They're two different things. But there were, as time goes on, it's a number of things that filter out closer and closer. And you can see it happening right through some of those mothers through Northern Ireland. You see the way it leaks out eventually who was involved. Like, say, the nan... shooting it over there, they killing over there, distance key. The farmer and the workman, the way that accidentally come out then to back from England, who was responsible. Well, people knew who was responsible for it, but the evidence came out to prove it was them.
That was the Scotch Guard, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but everyone knew it was them from the word go. But nobody would. Yeah. It's only when themselves spoke, when that there'd never been clarity on that.
I'm going to visit a descendant of or a member of the Bullock family shortly. Do you remember that terrible?
I remember them, yes. And the Bullocks on the whole enjoy. We don't understand that one so much. No, there's a hazy explanation of some of that. Now the Bullocks were nice people, and still highly respected, and therefore there was no grievance against them.
And why were they killed?
And that's why there is a bit of a question mark about the Bullocks. That it was not, they were not singled out that we could see for political reasons. They were has been a danger to Catholics, or that they were gun people, or there were any. We just don't understand it now. What was responsible for it? But the Bullocks enjoyed and still enjoy high esteem among the Catholics. And I met people belonging to them. They were there in integrated operations and meetings and that, and women's groups and that. Bullocks are lovely people.
Mm.
And nobody would point a finger at them.
Yeah.
And as time has worn on, it hasn't changed, you understand. And it's not for, at this stage, it's not that they're prepared to bury the hatch, forget something. There never was any held against the Bullocks.
Yeah.
As far as, I never heard the wrong word about them. I never heard, you don't know them, or there was something. There was none of that with the Bullocks.
Yeah. And when you had people transporting bombs through them, they came up through your parish, you must have been aware that they were going through the parish, or, you know.
Well, you meant to, there was so much military, so much police around, you wouldn't be aware of what's moving where. You would not be aware of them.
Was it like a war zone? I mean, all the do you know what was going on? You had the presence of military there all the time. You had, you know, you had these threats.
But if the military wasn't fit to spot them going through, touch, know who was carrying them, sure to God, I wasn't going to be aware of it.
I suppose, yeah. I suppose being a priest in that kind of situation, though,
the thing changed, as you're well aware, from the 50s when you were first. It was Southern involvement we were coming from. In the last year, latter times, it was organised from the northern side, and therefore there wasn't as many Southerners knocking about. It wasn't that apparent who was bringing through it.
Oh, that's an interesting point. That, you know,
they moved. When in the 50s and early 60s, we saw the Southerners walking the road there, and the fellows who were doing the raiding down here, They were walking the road outside Ballyconnell when something was coming up. We saw them. We wouldn't know who they were. But they were strangers. You see strangers walking the road. You had a question mark. You asked no questions. You knew where they were coming from. We knew where the bulk of them hanging out. But then they disappeared and they appeared again. Some of those appeared. And nobody asked any questions. You didn't ask any questions. You weren't encouraged. You wouldn't be advisable to ask questions.
Really?
No, you said nothing. You kept your mouth shut. Kept out of trouble.
Yeah, so if I was doing my job now, can you imagine then that if I was asking too many questions,
yes.
You know, it would be a bad scene.
A bad scene. You just didn't ask questions.
Yeah.
No, you didn't ask them. But in a lot of times, those type of people on the boat were not conspicuous. No, they didn't appear at all. It was a different era. Things were not as conspicuous. It was far more professionally organised and had to be because there was far more surveillance.
Yeah.
When you had cameras and you had more agents, professional agents, infiltrating spies, professional spies on the loose. It was hard to know who was genuine and who was a spy, and you couldn't afford to take chances. And therefore, we certainly didn't ask questions. You wouldn't want to be seen to be asking questions, were you? Why would you want to know more than anybody else?
Mm. But people would come to you and they would confide in you?
Not that much. That was not... That didn't enter in. They'd be well aware they put me in a spot and did not want to be. They protected me a lot.
How did you get on with your Church of Ireland?
In my immediate area.
Church
of Ireland rectors that came along in sequence, one after another, were very pleasant people. I couldn't say anything other than that. I found them welcoming and open and honest, but they made a point to me that I had far more freedom than they had.
In what way now?
I wasn't shackled by my people. I had far more freedom of speech, of movement, who I talked to, I could move around, either I could talk to who I liked. They were confined to their own people, very much so. And they had church personnel who laid down the ground rules for them, and they were under observation and were obliged to toe the line accordingly. And if they didn't, and some of them, they were moved along, and that has happened several times in my time by pleasant gentlemen. And their wives too. Their wives were blamed for being too familiar with Catholics.
So they were, as you say, confined to their own quarters.
They had to stay with
their own people.
Yeah. And they were very conscious of the fact that I wasn't restricted in the same way. And told them it.
Yeah.
Each of them had that very same message for me.
And
that I wasn't shackled like they were. I enjoyed the freedom that they didn't.
It's amazing. And the changes that you would have seen then, did you see this violence coming in waves? You know, where there would be attack and a killing and a bombing, and then, you know, there would be a lot of activity for that period of time.
Would
it all die down then?
They've died out in a while now. They've gone for some time.
Oh, they have. But in the 19 years you were in, well, Derry Lynn.
Even before I came to Derry Lynn, I was coming through Northern Ireland, coming up the checkpoint. I was the next person to the checkpoint at Ballyconnell there, when all of a sudden the soldiers came running out of the bunkers and closed the road and said, they're all there towards the border. There was asked to be a bomb down, a man killed at a farm auction in Derry Lynn. I know the place was killed, know who the man was now, or who his people are. And clamped down there and then. Now, again, apart from activity for about 2 days of the police and that, and helicopters dropped men in, the people said nothing. Nobody said anything. I didn't notice any change of attitude with the president. they were as much scared as we were.
All right. So do you think, actually, that's an interesting point you're making, because what you're saying is that people were actually afraid to speak out.
Well, afraid to speak, yes. You knew you were speaking to. And there are repercussions of it. Because if hatred reflected your whole family, you wouldn't be the only one.
And were people actually shocked because they were informers in that way, or accused of being, maybe?
You were alienated once you said you were, to put a cordon around you. You know, life wasn't, you were excluded. And you'd feel it. So anybody of substance wouldn't get involved.
Yeah.
And as I said, the people he knew most were the people who said least.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that was very apparent.
And they were easy. You would have the sixth sense that you could spot them.
If you're long enough watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd know.
You'd see the signals, but you it wasn't that they convicted themselves, it wasn't that they said any, you'd only be speculating.
Yeah.
And they never bothered me with that door. I was never bothered with something that I couldn't sleep about, that I'd be afraid to be pulled in and interrogated about. No.
Yeah.
Know that.
Your appointment to Derry Lynn, you were left there for 19 years, were you?
Yes.
Normally, priests get transferred from one parish to the next. Is that because you were doing a job you feel that might have been...
Well, it
wasn't an easy place to live, I'd say, you know?
It was a lovely place to live. When you took the people, it's the people we work with. And I would be classified as a kind of a people's priest, because my hobby is visiting people and rambling around among them. I took no holidays when I was there in my time. I didn't feel the need for holidays. I enjoyed my time there. And I still enjoy going back. Since I come up 3 weeks up here, I rambled back down all the most days of all the few hours. And that's what I enjoy doing, and always did. Felt free and easy. And we were comfortable. The parish was going well. Now, men were looking to come across the border. Police were looking to come across the border because it's a different tax system, health system, school system. It's a whole different culture. And only men that here served as a cure and come back as parish priests. Any man that's in his 50s or thereabouts, he'd tell you, be rather reluctant to come back to it now. Do you know, come down to have a whole change of life at that stage? Why put yourself into the way of only two parishes in Northern Ireland?
Yeah.
And why put yourself in? Now, the new man after coming to Kinnolly, he was my curate for several years. So that's why he's back there, because he already knows Northern Ireland. Yeah. And the pension system or the social benefits that don't compare to how we lose that way, so it's not trying to entice you financially to come back, to come to Northern Ireland. And our parish would be an Enniskillen oriented, you know. Our children go to have a second level junior high in Derry Lynn, but they move on after that to Enniskillen. And so our structural arrangements would be with Northern Ireland colleges, schools. Not back, we're the only parish to be cut off from Cavan, more or less.
Yeah.
And our youth, you know, John Paul people, youth people, we work with Sutlar Diocese who cover from Anna, and we work with the Northern Ireland group.
Imagine. And would you in your, say, in your own mind, would you see Northern Ireland as a different place, different country, different people? Do you know?
No, not really. Not really. It's a different form of administration, different school system. It is challenging. And both sides, I mean, the idea how big kids are taught, the technology that is changing on both sides, and how teachers are assessed, how schools are assessed, different both sides. But the South is coming up, and the Northern Ireland was stricter.
Yeah.
There was far more examining of it and inspections and so on. Now the South is beginning, but they're a bit behind Northern Ireland. All the time, had the same severity about their checks, and see, there was teachers could be squeezed out in Northern Ireland, couldn't be squeezed out in the South. So there was, for getting poor results, you understand?
Yeah.
That didn't. You wouldn't see many of them squeeze out in Southern Ireland. But
I suppose you wouldn't.
No, but in Northern Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine, you think the schooling system was better in the...
Well, It has its drawbacks too. And I mean, if you have turmoil, if you have a high unemployment rate, if you have depressed areas like you have in the cities of Belfast somebody who knows far as Belfast for them, naturally, if you have the raw materials, you're not going to get the product off them, and that's just it.
Mm-hmm.
But the schools are made doing their best in the circumstances.
Yeah, yeah. Before you were transferred up here to Derry Linn,
yes.
you were down the country, were you?
I was in North Leitrim, in Dunfermline and Glencar. Now,
what years? Can you remember the years?
I was there from 82 to 88. And it was ravaged by emigration. And the place was getting... The community got so small, it has more or less disintegrated. Whole areas now, the whole higher grounds are getting depopulated.
What did you do to really get it going?
We were fortunate enough to have a centre with a tradition. The original bottom of romance was there. And John McGivern, the establishment, brought the idea back from America. He was a showman. And he put on a good show, and he brought in the best bands. And... it was in the middle of nowhere, but it worked. And he didn't. He brought in the best bands.
Were you the driving force behind that?
I inherited it.
And you took it on yourself?
I took it on myself. I inherited it.
So
and it was... Well, it was a nice, great challenge. It was a good experience. I had run fundraising functions in the college. In fact, I brought... the chieftains of Cavan in my time.
Did you?
Know? I did, yes. And I ran fundraising dances, and I had the experience of meeting with numerous band managers, and it's necessary to know them if you're going to have a selection of bands.
I was aware
of the scene before I came to Glenfarne.
And you like music?
I was no way music, but. I enjoyed the challenge of promoting
and things. The business end.
I met a lot of people. I met a lot of people through it. The place was totally above board, and it was strictly parochial. And it was a pleasure to be with the people. They kept rotating the people on it. There were no paid hands at all.
Yeah.
All volunteers.
And at that time, was it? It must have been a hotbed too for Republicans.
Not really.
Was it? Yeah.
No, not. Yeah. There may have been some a little bit back to Kitty Clark area, but not that many altogether. It was the youth, the people who were of a useful age, were gone out of it. At leaving cert time, the month of August each year, once the leaving cert results came out, I saw when they took a minibus and they went off to London in a minibus. The whole cheap bang. Three or four, they were like the eighth flight of swallows, a few stayed on, and the boys, some of the home came at Christmas and brought the rest of them with them.
Imagine.
And you had to wait for the next crop for the following year. And that's when they just disappeared. The 80s were a disaster for it. The late 70s and 80s, a disaster for that part of the world. At that time, the young people who were coming up then were the sons and daughters of returned immigrants. All the families down there had spent time in England and came back there. But these ones, the later ones that went off, there wasn't much for them to come back to.
Mm. Yeah.
And they haven't come back. And the countryside is getting denuded now. Because they haven't come back, and they're not going to come back now, because there wouldn't be sufficient people there to provide an active community. There wouldn't be enough company there. Compared to too isolated.
Amazing. Amazing. So listen, Father Fintan McKiernan, thank you very much indeed for talking to me.